Welcome to the podcast all about women's wealth. Women's wealth is growing faster than men's. As women in the next generation rise in financial power, women will fundamentally change the meaning of legacy. Women as singles, mothers, wives, or widows not only need access to a full continuum of opportunities to save, invest, and preserve financial assets, they also need access to financial education and coaching, coupled with affordable and appropriate savings and credit building products at key times in their lives. Join us on Women Acquiring Assets and learn the stepping stones to home ownership, investment properties, cryptocurrency, business development, and learn all about saving stocks and so much more. Let's grow our networks together.
Welcome to this week's edition of Women Acquiring Assets. I'm your host, Annika Jackson. And as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, we talk about wealth, but not just financial wealth. We talk about emotional, spiritual, physical wealth and well-being as part of the equation and what women really need. So today we have a guest who's going to talk about a subject we haven't broached really on the podcast yet. So I'm really excited. So Camilla Constance, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I would love for you to talk about what you do and your why.
My why. So I'm a libido coach and I work mainly with women, but not exclusively. And why I do it is because midway through my life, I had very, very deep depression, which at the time I had did all the traditional things. I went to the doctor, I got antidepressants, I did all the things that we do. And then one thing, then some acts, just things miraculously happened for me and I rediscovered sex again. Mm. And it completely changed my life. Years later, I read of Naomi Wolf's term, vaginal depression, which is when we're not sexually activated and we're very shut down and we're not having the surge of orgasmic energy through our bodies. Our bodies actually get fundamentally depressed. It's a physical depression, and it's at its root, it's at our core. The core of our bodies are not lit up. So that became my mission and my why. It's like I just, when I was really alive and I'd rediscovered my sexuality, and I went to the doctor for something very routine, like a smear test or something, and I sat in the surgery fizzing with life and energy, and I was like kind of, every single part of me was alive and dancing. And I looked around the room at women my age or younger, mm-hmm. who all looked so grey and miserable and sick. And I was like, oh my God, they need this touch. They need me to literally go around with a magic wand and wave it around them and kind of bring them back to life. And to me, that's why I work with libido. It's like women who've lost libido have lost, libido is desire. If you've lost desire for, the sexual desire is our life force energy. It's the life surging through us. Mm-hmm. So just think it's fundamental. That's what I want to bring back to women and to the planet and to women's families, to women's partners and women's children and women's friends. Like, we need this aliveness in our bodies.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I feel that at this moment in time, I really see what you're talking about with friends. With my friends who are single and who've been sheltered at home and haven't been able to date, haven't been able to look for a partner because it's not really a safe time to do that because of COVID. And so they're sitting at home by themselves, maybe with some pets, but really thinking and struggling with depression, with their overall mental wellness, not feeling loved, not being touched even, not even getting into the act of sex necessarily, right? Mm. But not even having that human touch or that romantic connection with somebody. And so the work that you're doing is even a step further.
So there are two routes for any human to experience sexual energy. Yes, there's sex with a partner, and there's also sex on our own. And that's how I cultivate this energy within my clients. I don't work with two people together. I work with individuals and I help them cultivate it within themselves. So they kind of bring themselves back to life and then they take that into their partnership if they're in partnership. But for sure, women do not need to be in a relationship to have a well-fed sexual sexuality. They can be filled with sexual aliveness through self-pleasure work. And I think, certainly for me, that was a big step for me to understand that. Mm-hmm. There's a big step between the kind of unconscious habits that you feel a bit kind of, that you don't feel comfortable doing and you don't particularly enjoy. So unconscious masturbation compared to the kind of conscious work you can do with your body and really learn to move energy, to activate and move energy around your bodies to nourish and sustain you in life. It's a different way of viewing sexuality for sure. Yeah. And that's where I work.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who you work with maybe that have barriers or they have preconceived notions of self-pleasure or of the work that you're doing. So how do they find you to work with you in the first place? And then how do you get past some of those, you know, those barriers that people put up, that we put up around ourselves with judging our own self-worth or judging, you know, ourselves based on these preconceived notions that we're bringing to sexuality?
So people find me because of days like this, because I speak to lovely people like you. People find me, I've been featured a bit in the press in the UK and they find me on Facebook. So Camilla Constance on Facebook. And I have a Facebook group there where people can join me to kind of grow an ease and a comfort and begin to kind of slowly melt the barriers. Because I think that first stepping stone, so I call my Facebook group Camilla's Kitchen Table because I want them, I'm inviting people to my kitchen table to have a cup of tea and a chat as they would do in real life.
Right.
But you can be anywhere in the world and still be at my kitchen table. Mm. And then the work, when people then choose to work one-to-one with me, it's very much about melting that resistance within our body, acknowledging it's there, and then working with all the stuff that we've inherited. Mm-hmm. So beliefs we've inherited from the maternal life, the paternal line, like, you know, what did our family say about sex? What did our school say about sex? What did our community say about sex? And just having those conversations and doing some really gentle release works. My clients do practices, they listen to meditations, and it's all very, very gently bringing them back to a different level of acceptance and love for their bodies, and also just to experience pleasure in a different way. Mm-hmm. So many women are shut down to pleasure. Like they're scared to feel pleasure. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of the work.
Yeah. And I imagine, this has been kind of a taboo subject and probably surprising for people to think about the connection between, people think about the connection between exercise and endorphins and feeling well that way and how that can alleviate anxiety and depression and stress, right? But I don't know that they connect it as in the ways that you're connecting it.
Oh, and even, you know, so for me, one of the seminal books for me is Vagina by Naomi Wolf. So if you want to, she goes into all the scientific research and explains what orgasm means to women and why, and she goes into it in so much depth and so much detail. And I have so much gratitude for her brilliant, brilliant piece of writing. But yeah, you know, it's quite new. You know, it's only in the last 20 years or so that neuroscience is actually doing the research to see how orgasm affects women's health and cognitive abilities. Like when we are orgasmic, our cognition improves.
Wow, I never would have done that.
Exactly. So, so this idea that sex is kind of like, it's the sole purpose is for reproduction, and if you're not having sex outside of reproductive purposes, somehow it's sinful or wrong. That was a very good way of shutting humans down. Now, I don't know what kind of research is being done in male sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know, but I'm a coach with women right now. But I'm sure it's the same. I'm sure men need this energy moving through their bodies for their cognitive abilities. I'm sure it's the same.
Well, and let's be real. Men are usually looked at and researched far more than women and what our needs are. I mean, you can see that with the different pills on the marketplace to help men achieve certain states of arousal, right? And things that aren't available for women necessarily.
And then this is where I work as well, because that is so problematical. You know, so men's sexuality is so well catered for. And even in the way that we view sexuality as a culture, we very much view it on a male model. But actually, if you think about the pills that get men erect in order to have penetrative sex, it makes the energy very rapid, very urgent, very fast. And our energy most of the time isn't like that. Our energy is generally slower and gentler and needs a more gradual buildup. But we're so used to trying to cram our gentleness and our fluidity and our sensuality into this rapid, urgent box. And that's another reason why so many women get shut down and bored and fed up and disheartened with sex, because it's just not pleasing them.
Yeah. Well, so when did you start on this journey?
My depressed year was 2012.
Okay.
So 2013 was my personal, like the
your aha moment.
Yeah, that was my aha moment. And then what happens, I'm very kinesthetic. I don't know if this is an excuse or what, but maybe this happens to you and to your listeners, but I seem to have to live things, live experiences, and then I'll read something about and make it, and then it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I guess that happens a lot in our personal lives, maybe, but I live an experience and then I will find something to explain what I've just lived through.
Interesting.
So yeah, my big aha moment was 2013. And then it was kind of, since then I've been trying to work it all out and piece it together and like, so what's going on? And so then, you know, 5 years or so of investigating, like why did I feel so amazing? Like, why did everything in my life change once I had this energy moving through my body? What is going on? And then once I had clarity on that, and then once I discovered Tantra, like everything changed once I started working with Tantra and tantric practices and nourishing it for myself.
And so the connection with your body helped change your relationships with others in your life?
Totally.
And it helped.
The depression coincided with my marriage breaking up. Mm. And whilst my discovery and my excitement and all the juiciness didn't stop our marriage ending, it enabled me to end it in such a beautiful way. Wow. And we're such good friends, and we've just spent we've spent every single Christmas together with the kids through the whole thing. And we have a really good, and I had the power to do that because I was really happy and really grounded and really, and I never got caught up in the anger and the bitterness. Mm-hmm. And I created beautiful new relationships. My children are so much happier. I think I was really lucky that my big sexual explosion was when they were very young. I didn't do it in through their awkward teen years. But that's something I'm there for my clients. When my clients are going through this kind of discovery with me, I'm holding them in a really safe container so they don't spiral out of control and do anything socially awkward or embarrassing like I did.
Oh, no. hold that thought for a second. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hi, this is Annika Jackson. At Annika PR, we provide public relations strategy, content marketing, and brand and design services. We are gifted with the ability to draw excitement to an event, brand, or concept. Don't just take our word for it. See our clients' work in Forbes, CNN, Amazon TV shows, and much more. Want your brand amplified? Go to AnnikaPR.com. That's AnnikaPR.com.
And we are back on Women Acquiring Assets. I'm your host, Annika Jackson. I'm here with Camilla Constance, who is a libido coach. And it's something we probably, as an audience, don't think about as much. We don't think about how our libido and our personal sexual satisfaction affects other parts of our lives. Now, I know for love languages, one of my love languages is physical touch. So even with my child or my pets or my boyfriend, I like to hug, I like to hold hands, you know, I like to be close because that gives me some of that connection that I need. But that's a connection with other people, not the connection with my own body, right? And so you're really helping women discover the connection with who they are within, with their own body. You said you use mindfulness, meditation techniques, along with your coaching. They do exercises.
And they learn some really gentle and very profound self-pleasure practices.
Yeah.
So to learn to kind of touch and interact with their bodies in a very different way. Mm-hmm. Breath is hugely important. Using breath work, moving energy with breath, with visualization, with movement, with sound are all key. And yeah, touch, touch, touch.
Yeah. And what were you doing before you discovered this work? I imagine this is probably a pretty big pivot from what your life looked like before and your career and all of that.
I was a primary school teacher.
Oh my gosh, wait. What?
Yeah. And actually, when I started working as a sex coach, there was an overlap. So a couple of days a week I was working in the schools, and then the other couple of days a week I was working with clients. And there was this kind of, for a couple of, you know, for about half a term or so, I was wearing these two hats, which was kind of amusing. But I'm also, you know, I'm a mum, I'm a full-time mum. So I'm very grounded in the real world of a home and a family, and my life is not particularly glamorous. Sex is not always glamorous. Sex is not necessarily something you do on a holiday or in a glamorous stage for your life. That's part of my message, is like sex belongs in the heart of the family home, because it nourishes both parents, but it particularly nourishes women. It's so important for us, and part of the process of filling up our cup. And we're all familiar now with filling up our cup.
Yeah.
Because we can't give from an empty cup. And part of that process is sexual. So, so important. That's really key to my messaging.
Yes, you're just trying to normalize things that should already be normalized, right?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things about women, you mentioned your love language was very strongly touch, and all of us need our love languages nourished, like whatever they are. We need them nourished, because that's an integral part of sexual foreplay. And the more that men... and women, but when people do the dance, do the love dance, the sexual dance throughout the day. So one of my shocking things I say to my couples is, you know, you should be having more sex in the kitchen with the kids. And they go, and I don't mean literally penetrative sex. It's the sexual interaction. It's the winks. It's the strokes. It's the cuddles. It's the kissing at the back of the neck. It's that constant dance that is so nourishing to women. It gets our vaginas pulsating and energized. And that's the foreplay that we need. It's not a couple of minutes ahead of penetration in the bed. It's day-long interaction.
Well, and it's also modeling appropriate behavior, right? It's modeling a loving relationship.
Totally.
To your family.
And so many of my clients come to me and they've never seen that. They've never seen their parents touch. They've never seen them interact. They've never seen their parents naked. I had a client who once walked in on her father, who was naked in the bedroom. She was about 3 or 4 at the time. Her mother screamed at her and slammed the door shut. And that was her messaging about male nudity. Mm-hmm. Like, how does she go further onwards in life and feel comfortable with a naked man when that's been her experience? Really frightening at a young age.
Yeah. Well, and it was an innocent experience. It wasn't... you know, yeah, wow. Now this is going to be a little bit of a shift in my questioning, but I noticed when I asked you the questions to answer before the interview that your issue area was women's refugees. And I wanted to ask you about that. You said some really interesting things. But men fear women will laugh at them. Women fear men will kill them. And so I feel, though, that this also has a part to play in the work that you do. And there's some connection.
Yes, I think the connection is fear. And I think it does come back to that saying, that quote, that and it's very much a sexual fear. You know, the fear in sexuality for men is that women will laugh at them. I've spoken to so many men working with them, and you know, they have this really big fear that they need to perform, they need to be hard, they need to be, you know, impressive to avoid being laughed at. Our fear isn't being laughed at. Our fear is that our sexuality is dangerous. Our fear is that it's dirty, it's wrong, it's sinful. You know, they burned women for being overtly sexual not so long ago. And this is deeply embedded in our bodies. And I think because I've been working with women who carry this fear, and we do so much work to dissolve it and release it and experience sex in a more pleasurable, gentle, loving way, I've just become very aware of the fear that women carry around in their bodies. Mm-hmm. And I have worked with a few women who have suffered incredible violence at the hands of men, and I can't think of anything more important for me to support than places that make women safe. Sexual violence is real.
Yes.
And if it gets to the point where you need to escape to keep yourself and your children safe, there needs to be places to go to. And also, there's just a British politician who particularly inspires me. I particularly adore her, and her starting point in life was women's refuges.
Wow. So,
and also, I guess, from my teaching background, because I've worked with children who show up suddenly in the middle of the term out of nowhere, and they are the children of women who have escaped and have found refuge in one of these homes. And I just think if you have any level of success as a woman and you can give back,
yeah,
that's where I want to give back.
Well, and that's so interesting, because I do feel that these women probably need someone like you to come in and teach them to be okay with their bodies again and
yes.
to own their bodies again. And I don't think that I would have ever thought about that if we weren't having this discussion right now, to be honest. You think about it, the other resources that you offer women in the US, you know, we say shelters versus refuges, but when a woman goes into a shelter because of sexual assault, domestic violence, any of those kind of violent situations, there are so many resources for how to interview for a job, how to find a job, how to get your GED, all of those things, how to save money. And there's some therapy and counseling, but not around this, not around being okay with your body, not around, you know, feeling comfortable.
And it's at the root of everything.
And being able to feel that you can express your sexuality to yourself and be comfortable in that, and that it's okay to do so.
Yeah, essentially they are carrying extreme trauma in their bodies.
Mm, oh my
and,
God.
And the way to release, and this is being shown more and more, scientific research and psychotherapists are learning, are accepting more and more that people need to use their bodies to release trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not done through thinking, it's not even particularly effectively done through drugs. It's through work with the body.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you see, because you are based in England, but mm-hmm. you have clients all over. And
yeah.
do you see differences in mindsets and the preconceived notions people are bringing to you, depending on where they are in the world?
Yes and no. Like I do. And then I have to be really careful not to check that is actually a genuine difference and not just my prejudice or my preconceived ideas.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think about this more and more actually, because I'm a white Western woman
mm-hmm.
and I view the world through a white Western woman's lens and through my trauma history, my, you know, my lineage. And I kind of assume that every other woman on the planet, this is what we all do, right? We all assume people are looking through the same lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more that there are people who really see the things very differently. I want to give an example. So when I used to work with couples, I was, I had a session with, booked by a man, and I was assisting him to give his wife a really, really beautiful sensual experience. And he showed up, and it turned out that they were both Muslims. And I immediately went to the white Western woman reaction of, oh, she's going to be, this is an abusive situation. I shouldn't partake in this. I shouldn't help him. I just kind of knee-jerk reaction thought, she's disadvantaged vis-a-vis me, right? So I asked him to step out of the room, and I had a one-to-one talk with her. And she said, no, this is a gift from my husband.
Mm. Wow.
We went through this really beautiful tantric process together, and I have never actually seen a more sensual and sexually alive woman ever.
Wow. I just got
yeah. shocked. And it was like, so my prejudice of she's here against her will into a situation that she doesn't want to be in was completely, completely misjudged. I just didn't, it was my prejudice showing up. And so I think it's really easy from ignorance to make assumptions about people from other cultures and other countries, when actually, fundamentally, we're all humans.
I love that. And I love that you're learning things as you continue this process and this journey.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Like every day is a new learning. Oh my goodness. I just want to learn it all and feel like I've kind of got to grips with it before I die. That's all I just don't want to run out of time.
Oh yeah. No, there's always something to learn, something new to explore. And I also picked up that you said when you worked with couples. Uh-huh. So have you shifted your practice away from working with couples? Are you primarily working with women now?
Yeah. Yeah. I primarily work with women. That's partly COVID pivoting. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So my work with couples was very often physical, and I would actually join. I would create a beautiful tantric based experience to move one level of sexuality into a different, more sensual, femme based experience. And it was, I really enjoyed doing it, and I loved it. It was such a beautiful period of my life. And I can't work in person anymore.
Right.
And it was an opportunity to pivot and say, no, okay, I'm going to branch out, because it was wonderful and it was very limiting, because my clients had to be able to travel to me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And when you're working with women, are you working with any woman who comes across your path? Are you working primarily with women who are in relationships, or single women, or?
Honestly, any woman who's a right fit. Mm. So I will work with anybody, and I'll actually still work with men one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's about how they're approaching it. Mm-hmm. So it's like any coaching. If you're open-minded and you're willing to trust the process and you're open to new ideas, brilliant, we're a good fit. If you're controlling and shut down and determined not to learn anything new, there's no point working with me, because I do work with different ideas. I do suggest different things. I ask you to do different, approach your body and your sexuality and your, I do things differently. So you can't be fixed.
Yeah. But I think that's with any coaching or lesson or therapy or anything people do to try to build. If you're not fully present and you're not willing to do the work, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. You're not going to progress. I mean, I've seen that in my own, when I was married and going to therapy, couples therapy with my ex, now ex, and seeing what would happen when we would have our own sessions versus a session together, and bringing in our own preconceived ideas. And it, looking back now, I see obviously each of our parts and each of the roles that we played, and the connection just wasn't there for us to fully engage with each other. Mm-hmm. So essentially it's the same. If somebody's coming, but they're not willing to do the work, then it's not going to work.
And my onboarding process kind of filters out people who aren't.
So how do
you take some action? You've got to take action in order to work with me. You've got to, answer some questionnaires, get on some calls, do some thinking, do some answering. And if you don't engage in that process, well.
Then, that's not the person for you.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other things that you've discovered as you do this work about yourself, about the process, your clients? I know that's a really big question.
What are some other things I've discovered about myself? Okay, so I've discovered, this is not really about, so this discovery is, setting up a business and putting yourself out there in a business way is the most vulnerable, exposing, challenging experience that anyone could do. Learning how to do something and getting a job doing it is one thing. Learning how to do something and then promoting yourself and putting yourself out there as a sole trader, that's a whole different ball game. So when I'm talking to women about their fear stepping into their sexuality and reclaiming sexuality. And I kind of like, I'm really on board with them. It's like, I know what this fear is like, because I'm feeling this fear every single day on the because of the business side. And that was unexpected, totally unexpected. Mm. I think the other thing, another really big thing I've learned, and I'm learning more and more, is how, whilst there are differences between men and women, I think at core, as I said earlier, we're all human beings. We all ultimately want the same things. I don't buy this idea that women want love and men want sex.
Right.
I don't buy that for a second. I think women really want sex. We need sex. We want sex. And men really, really want love. And yes, there's lots of conditioning that makes it difficult for men to be open, maybe to love, and for women to be open, maybe to sex. But I think fundamentally, we all want that connection.
Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Human beings want connection. Yeah. And man, have we not understood that this year?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting time. And we don't have, you know, there's so much we could unpack there alone. but I going back to what you're talking about, the best connection we can start with is the connection with ourselves. Yes. And that's really the work that you're doing.
Yes.
And I was texting with some other publicists yesterday and talking about, oh, I have, you know, these meetings, those meetings, I haven't had time to go through this training that we all paid for together. And one of them said, don't forget to take care of your best client, yourself.
Mm.
And I was like, oh yeah. Mm. Yeah, you sometimes forget about that when you're doing everything else for everybody else. And I think that's what you're really trying to bring back to women is.
And women particularly, it is such a weakness in women. In fact, I was having a minor meltdown this morning, and my partner was saying to me, you need to reestablish, you know, he didn't say reestablish. He said, where are your boundaries? Where are your boundaries, Camilla? I was like, I don't have any boundaries. I think my meltdown was that my daughter had rebroken her screen on her phone. So she broke it on Christmas Day. We got it mended and she's already broken it again. And I got a message from her. She was only upstairs, but I got a message from her saying, I've broken my screen. And I was doing some work and I got spun out of my work into this, oh, I've got to mend a screen again, kind of not huge. And he was just like, where are your boundaries? Like, just look at that message and park it.
Right. It's not something we take care of right now, but we do.
Don't need to do it right now.
We put an urgency on everybody else around us and their needs.
That's it. We put an urgency on everyone else around us, but never ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's one of, I guess, the biggest things that I'm asking for from my clients is that they reclaim some space for themselves. And that's often the biggest challenge that people face. I've had people spin out of my coaching programs. Like, they pay full up front and then after a few weeks they spin out simply because they cannot carve out half an hour a day for themselves.
And it's not that they can't, right? It's that they won't.
And yes.
I think that you bring up a good point. We often use that as an excuse.
Yes.
But at the same time, if it's somebody in any situation, if it's something you really want to do, you will find the time for it. And you put a reminder in your calendar. You will carve out the space. And I do think we forget that. And it's something we have to be constantly reminded of.
Yes. It's so important for us. And it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. So what else would you like to share with our audience today?
My number one message to anyone listening who feels disconnected, feels shut down, is worrying. So my client, I've got a client at the moment who, prior to working with me, was worrying about sex 2 to 3 hours a day.
Oh my gosh.
2 to 3 hours a day she spent worrying about the sex that her husband wanted from her and that she didn't like sharing.
Wow.
2 to 3 hours a day. And like, if anybody out there listening is in that place, like, you don't need to be alone anymore. Mm-hmm. You can there's not just me, there is me, and there are lots of other women, and there are also men. But there are people out there who can guide you to a so much happier place. Like, you are not broken. Nobody is broken. You have been trying to fit yourself into a box that doesn't fit you, and it's time to create a different box. And you can find help to do that.
That's beautiful. And if people wanted to join your Facebook group, is that part of your coaching, or anybody can join? And then
anyone can join. Anyone. It's completely. It is a private group, so I do invite. I do ask people to go through a short questionnaire to join it. It's women only. Mm-hmm. But it's free to anybody to join. And it's called Camilla's Kitchen Table. So they can just search for that on Facebook and join us there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for coming on today. I love the information that you're sharing. I think it's so important. And what you're doing, yes, it's about sex and libido, but it, at the end of the day, is really about finding yourself, being comfortable with yourself, rediscovering yourself as a woman, reminding yourself of who you are and your power. And that is something that all of us need.
Yes, finding your power, feeling fully alive.
Yes.
Radiance and power. That's what sex brings us. Maybe not sex the way we've always done it or the way we were taught to do it, but that's what it brings us.
Yeah. And I also just really want to highlight the point that you've talked about. Sex isn't just the physical act with somebody else or with ourselves, but it's the touches, it's all of the other things that go along with it.
All the brain, all the stuff that's going on in the brain, all the ideas, all the thinking, all the words, all the smells. It's such a sensual experience, as in all of the senses. Eating chocolate can be the sexiest thing you do. You know?
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, how can people find you if they wanted to learn more about your services or follow you on social media to get tips of the trade? And
so I'm on both Facebook and a little bit on LinkedIn. This is a target for this year to improve my presence on LinkedIn. Facebook or LinkedIn, there's Camilla Constance. And they can. My website is www.camillaconstance.com.
Wonderful. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you. And to our listeners, I hope that you're learning to take this journey with us. You know, we often talk about women in business, and we didn't really talk about that aspect of how you start a business and being an entrepreneur and all of those. We touched on it a little bit, but I thought this was a really important conversation for us to have, just to remind women to live in your power and to rediscover yourselves now more than ever. And we know that people are trying to find points of connection. People are living really in a place of authenticity, I think, more than ever, because we've had to look at ourselves and live with ourselves during this crazy year. And it doesn't look like that's going to end anytime soon, but hopefully it creates a shift in what we expect of ourselves and what we give to ourselves more than anything, right? So.
And given that this doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon, and given that we have a bit more spaciousness and time, this is the perfect time, if I may just suggest, to go on an inner journey and reclaim that power and that aliveness in your body. It's a really good time to do it.
Great. Thank you, Camilla. I really appreciate you being on the show. And for our listeners, please reach out to her at CamillaConstance.com. And Camilla's Kitchen Table on Facebook is a great group to consider joining. And we will be back next week with another episode. Until then.
Thank you.
Women's Inflection Point is a nonprofit, educational, and results-driven entity providing women a success path to reach maximum potential in each of their life cycle stages. Women's Inflection Point focuses on three tiers of Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid: human wellness, safety, and self-actualization. In other words, we focus on your health, your money, and yourself. An inflection point is an event that results in dramatic and significant change. Our mission is to facilitate occurrences of inflection points that activate unleashed potential to propel women to reach their maximum potential in all aspects of their life. These occurrences are delivered at events throughout the year in organic and diverse, inclusive environments. For more information, visit us at www.womeninflectionpoint.org.
Well, that's it for this episode. To learn more about who we are and what we do, visit www.womeninflectionpoint.org/WAA. If you have anything you'd like to share, Annika would love to hear from you. And she can be reached at info@womeninflectionpoint.org. Be sure to tune in every week for another episode and learn more about how financial assets are a store of resources that women and families can tap into, particularly during emergencies, and how wealth can provide a nest egg that can be leveraged into investments like a home, an investment property, or a business, and then can be passed on to future generations. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.